Glory to God. Amen. In the name of the Lord is?
Good.
His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues to all generations. Glory to God. Let's go to John chapter 1. At least we'll start there anyhow. Hallelujah. John chapter 1. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the Word. Say the Word. And the Word, say the Word. Was with God, and the Word, say the Word, and the Word was God. Tonight I want to speak about the Word, the Word, the Word. Hallelujah. Just in case you thought you might need something more than the Word. Because the Word is more than sufficient. If you say I need more than the Word, you're saying I need more than God. God's not enough for me. God's all sufficiency is not enough for me. That's what you're saying. If you're saying I need more than the Word, if you're saying I need some other extra experience, then you're saying God's not enough for me. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you're saying tonight, I don't need more than God, then you're saying I don't need more than the Word. Hallelujah. Does anyone say that tonight? It says in verse 2, it says, and he was in the beginning with God. We discover the Word is a person. The Word has a personality. It's not dead letter on a page. It's a living Word. Glory to God. It's a living, breathing Word. It's an active Word. That's what it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, isn't it? It says, the Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's able to divide asunder between the joints and the marrow and the soul and the spirit, and is able to discern the thoughts and the intentions of your heart. Hallelujah. The Word of God is a living Word. See the Word. It says, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. You need to understand, all things were made through the Word. That's what the Scripture says. That's what the Word says about itself. All things. Say all things. That tells me something, glory to God. If the Word made it, only the Word can fix it. Let's go over to Genesis chapter 1 a moment. Hallelujah. Let's just remind ourselves what it says here. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. See, the Word, the Word, the Word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You need to understand, God created the heavens and the earth, and the heavens and the earth were always supposed to be connected. There was never supposed to become a separation between the heavens and the earth. God separated them, but they were going to be connected with the and by the Word. It says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God did what? Then God said. You know, in Scripture it says that God rested from his works. But you need to understand, God didn't do a whole lot apart from speak. That's all he did. He just spoke. And the Bible calls that his works, because the Word works. Did you hear what I said? I said the Word works. Nothing else works. Just the Word works. The Bible says there remains a rest for the people of God. And that rest is when we get it finally down there and deep at the deepest levels of our lives, that we begin to truly live out of our born-again spirit. And our soul, with all of its mind, the mind and the will and the emotions and our body and our flesh and everything else, comes into line and submits to the Word of God, we discover that the Word works. That's the only place of rest. There is no other place of rest for the people of God but in that place, when we finally get it down there on the inside of us that the Word works. If the Word created it, only the Word can fix it. There's no point in trying to stick a part off an old Volkswagen into a Rolls Royce. It ain't going to work. Well, you say, well, a distributor is a distributor. No, it doesn't work that way. Come on. The Word works. Say, the Word works. Say, the Word, the Word, the Word. In the beginning. If you want to find out how things are supposed to be, the best place to start is the start. Go back to the beginning. When you take a wrong turn and you find yourself miles away from where you're supposed to be, the only way to truly correct that is to go back to where you first left the road, where you took your first wrong turning. Get back to there and then you might find your way back on track again. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning God said. In the beginning God spoke. And then God, after he spoke and everything into being, he rested. Hallelujah. And that's the rest that God's called us into. There's nothing more that you can do but speak. The words that you speak carry the authority to accomplish what these words are declaring. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself right now. That's why we need to get into what it says in Psalm 118. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. What are the works of the Lord? The words of the Lord. Come on. Whatever God says is what happens. His words and his works are the synonymous. They're forever connected. There was never supposed to be a disconnect between the heavens and the earth. Never supposed to be a disconnect. That's why Jesus said, pray this way. Our Father, where? In heaven. Let your kingdom come. Where? On the earth. Let the heavens and the earth be reconnected. Your will be done. What's his will? His will is his word, and his word is his will. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's see the heavens and the earth reconnected again. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Give us today our daily bread. We know that's more than just a slice of Melinda or Mother's Pride or whatever it is. Or Hovis Brown or whatever it is. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word that God speaks, the word works. Hallelujah. When the Syrophoenician widow came asking for deliverance for her daughter who was demon-possessed, Jesus said, it's not right to give the children's bread. Bread includes healing and deliverance. It's everything that God has provided for us is included in the bread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Hallelujah. So if you start eating me, he's the word, he's the bread. He said, you will not hunger, your hunger will disappear. Blessed are those, happy are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Because they shall be filled. Hallelujah. You'll never be hungry again. You'll never be hungry for the things of this world. You'll never be running around again looking somewhere else for what can only be found in the Word. The all-sufficiency of the Word. Say the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by the Word. Let's go back to John chapter 1. Hallelujah. Made through Him. Hallelujah. All things were made through Him. Who? Through the Word. Without Him. Without who? Without the Word. Nothing was made that was made. If the Word made it, only the Word can fix it if it gets broken. Only the Word can reconnect heaven and earth. Do you understand that? Only the Word of God can reconnect your physical body with the will of God and the purpose of God, which is life. In all of its fullness. Length of days. Only the Word of God can do that. The doctor can't do it. The hospital can't do it. Any treatment that they offer cannot do that. Only the Word of God. Say the Word of God. Say the Word works. You must believe that. See, we've neglected the word. The people of God are just insane sometimes in their treatment of the word. Many people say, well, I don't want any more teaching. Ah, teaching this or teaching that. We want more experiences. It's the word that works. Nothing else works. The word works. Let's sing a few more songs. No, the word works. Hallelujah. All things were made through the word. In verse 4 it says, and in him, in the word, was life. See, life. Where was the life? In the word. And the life was the light of men. See, in Psalm 119 it says, the entrance of God's word brings light. You need to understand, life and light are synonymous. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. What's supposed to be the light of the world? The life that is in us is the light of the world. We have one offensive weapon, according to Ephesians chapter 6. In our battle against, we've been singing about, in heavenly armor we'll enter the land. Well, there's only one offensive weapon that is a part of that armor, and that is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You must become a professional, an expert in wielding that sword. Because the word works. Only the word works. Nothing else works. And when you pray, you must learn to pray the word. And the word is life. And the life was the light of men. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life, that life might shine forth as a light. He said, so let your light shine before men that they may see your good works. What are the good works? They are the good works that follow the good word. Because only the word, because it says at the end, that they might glorify your Father who is in heaven. When you're praying, Father, in heaven, let your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The good works of God that accompany and confirm the good word of God are seen of men. That's the supernatural, it's not the natural, it's the supernatural kingdom power of God coming into the earth. Glory to God. I was listening to a message the other day, and this man was talking about putting people into wheelchairs as a work of the kingdom. His heart was right and everything else, but my spirit, it was only part of the message that my spirit couldn't leap and respond to. I thought, when the kingdom comes, people aren't put into wheelchairs, people are coming out of wheelchairs. But you see how we can get so disconnected from the word. Jesus, you need to understand, Jesus is the word. Anything that Jesus did, the word does, because they're one and the same. You cannot separate them. No, anybody who says that Jesus doesn't do the same things that he did when he walked on this earth for 3.5 years doesn't understand that Jesus and the word are one and the same. Somehow they've been disconnected. The word has lost its personality to them. It's no longer a living word. It's gone back to becoming just letters on a page, ink on a page. That's why John begins his gospel, the good news, with this: in the beginning. You can expect God, whatever he was in the beginning, to be to the end. Because he never changes. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why we're declaring it since the turn of the year. Glory to God, the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues to all generations. Hallelujah. Amen. If we'll simply believe, Jesus came to give us a demonstration of what the word will do if we'll just simply take him at his word. And the word is life. And the word is life. In verse 5 it says, and the light, or the life, shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not, it says in my translation, the darkness did not comprehend it. That could be translated, could not overcome it, could not extinguish it. It could also be translated as it could not perceive it or attain or lay hold of it with the mind. Couldn't apprehend or with mental or moral effort. See, like Katrina prayed a few moments ago, we need revelation. of the Word of God. We need the revelation that comes when we just simply say, God, I take you at your word. I'm going to make your word my meditation in every situation. And at that point, something begins to change and revelation begins to break loose on the inside of us and light begins to come. The word begins to shine in the darkness of our soul. Who knows about the darkness of your soul? Come on, these places in your mind where there's just a dark cloud there that you just can't seem to get beyond. That's where that depression begins to form. I mean, come on, you ever watch the weather forecast? What do they talk? There's a depression out there. What's that telling you? The rain's coming. There's a big black cloud about to sit over Lewis and the rain's about to fall yet again. Come on. It's in the dark places of the soul that the depression and oppression and everything else, these things exist. Because there's become a disconnect between heaven and earth. Because that part of us that was born again has not been given the rule and the authority and the dominion in our lives. I said, I think, one of the last times I was speaking with you that the land that God has given us to take, it's the kingdom. But Jesus said, this, the kingdom is within you. If you don't take the land within you, you'll never take the land anywhere else. You've got to take possession of the land within yourself first. The kingdom is within you. You've got to take possession. He said, I'm giving. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Where? In you, first of all, before anybody else. If you cannot, the Bible says, possess your own souls. You've got to possess your own soul first. You've got to take the land in your soul, in the dark places of your soul. I want to tell you folks, some of you in here tonight have got dark places in your soul that you must take possession of because He's giving you the kingdom. And your mind and your will, and your will's all over the place. You don't know where you can make a decision. Even if your life depends on it, that's a sad place to be in until your life does depend on it. That's what you need to get a grip of. The Word, the Word, the Word. Only the Word works. Nothing else works. All things were made through the Word. The light shines in the darkness. Darkness could not overcome it. Let's go to verse 9. Now, this could be, I don't know how it says it in your translation, but mine it says that was the true light, but it also gives an alternative translation which says that was the true light which coming into the world gives light to every man. He was in the world. Who was the Word was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and yet the world did not know Him. Why? Because of disconnect. Because of that fall, as I've said before many times, the fall of man was it wasn't a fall of thousands of feet. He didn't fall from the top of Mount Everest and land in a puddle at the bottom, somewhere in Kathmandu or somewhere. What's a Kathmandu? He looks after cats. Oh, forget it. Hey, come on. The fall was from the spirit to the soul. That's a long drop. You wouldn't think it was a very long drop, but it has devastating consequences. You wouldn't think if you fell a few inches that you could kill yourself. Well, you can. Yeah. Jesus said, the Father said this. He said, the day that you eat from the fruit of that tree, you will surely die. The part of you that is connected with heaven will die. Part of you that accesses the resources of heaven and draws them into the earth will die. The part of you that is able to take dominion in the earth by bringing down heaven's rule and heaven's authority into the earth will die. The fall was from the spirit to the soul. Devastating consequences. That's why there's so many dark areas exist in our soul. And that's why we must take possession of these areas. You must do it. Your emotions. Man, if there's ever been a black hole. That's why over the last few weeks when I've been talking to you about self-esteem and people look at me as if I'm off my head. But I want to tell you, God never takes anything away from you without giving you something better in its place. Amen. If he's taking away your self-esteem, it's because he's got something better. Not so you roll around on the floor like a wee worm. Worms get eaten by birds. Come on. You need to understand, God's not, you're more precious than the birds. Amen. He's never going to feed you to the worms. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Feed you to the birds, I should say. Or the worms, for that matter. His will for you is that you live. 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 And that you live out the fullness of your days. And it's not just a quantity, it's a quality. He says, I've come that they may have life and have life in all of its fullness. He's taken away your self-esteem because that was getting in the way of you experiencing everything that he has for you in Christ. When you develop Christ's esteem, glory to God, who you are in Christ. Amen. More than a conqueror, an overcomer. Come on. Hallelujah. We don't need self-esteem anymore. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Why? Because what does it say? He says he came to his own, or he came to his own domain, and his own people did not receive him. Now we think of that exclusively as he came to the Jewish people. I'm sure that includes that. I don't believe that's all that it means. Every one of us was created to have a relationship with God, but that was blown. That was our first father blew that. He wasn't a Jew. Amen. Long before there was ever a Jew, Abraham was the first Jew, but before he was a Jew, he was a Gentile. He was the first convert from Gentile to Jew. Amen. Yeah. Glory to God. And it says that he and his relationship to us now as believers is he's our father also, because he's the father of all those who believe. When it says that some people believed in Jesus, and then they started to argue with him, he said, you're not of your father. If you were of your father, Abraham, you would receive me. You're of your father, the devil. See, that don't rock your little religious boat. You see, it says in verse 12, it says this, but as many as received him. Have you received him tonight? Received him. Received who? Who are we talking about? You were talking about the Word. Received the Word as their all-sufficient one. I don't need anything else but the Word, the Word, the Word. As many as received him, to them he gave the right, he gave the power, he gave the authority to become children of God. To be reconnected with heaven. To those who believe in his name. Hallelujah. Come on. Do you have a believer tonight? Do you believe that you have been reconnected with heaven? Do you believe that the Word has reconnected you with heaven? That all of heaven's resources are now available to you? See that, remember when we were looking at in Numbers over the last couple of times that we've been together, when I've been bringing the Word to you, we saw there how clearly God gave them the Word, and yet the majority of them rejected that Word. Even though they had evidence of it, even though they saw the evidence of it, and even some of them carried it in their own hands, others looked upon it, and yet they rejected that evidence. And they said, oh, but, you know, we saw the giants there. Your soul is what will see giants. Your spirit never sees a giant. The only giant that your spirit sees is God. Amen. Your spirit says, our God is an awesome God. There is no other gods beside him. Hallelujah. Come on. That's what your spirit says. But your soul comes under the shadow of anything that looks bigger than you. Because you've lost your identity. You've been disconnected. You're a child of God. Say, I'm a child of God. Say, I'm created in his image. Say, I'm created in his likeness. Say, I fell in Adam. But I've been restored in Christ. The first Adam blew it. Come on, let's say the first Adam blew it. But the second Adam has never blown it. And will never blow it. And I'm in him. I'm a child of God. I've been reconnected with heaven. And that means all of heaven's resources are flowing to me. But I must take possession of my soul. I must take the land that he's given me. I must take possession of this flesh. This flesh must come in. Paul said, I beat my body into submission. Why did he say that? Because he had to. Because his body was wanting to tell him what was going to happen. He said, no, I'm telling my body what's going to happen. You must do that. You can just reduce that to ink on the page, or you can say, that's in there for me to get a grip of, for me to understand something. And the word is life. Hallelujah. Turn to John chapter 3. What does it say in John 1:5? The light shines in the darkness. What does it shine into? It shines into the darkness. Turn to John chapter 3. Know your territory. For God so loved. Say, God loved. Say, so loved. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him. Who are we talking about? We're talking about the Word. Say the Word. Whoever believes in the Word should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son or the Word into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, through who? Through the Word. Say through the Word. Through the Word might be saved. He who believes in the Word, say the Word, is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, who is the Word of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light. Now that word there, darkness, it's a word that Jesus uses over there in Luke chapter 11. In verse 35. He says this. Take heed. Say, take heed. What's he saying? He's saying, look, folks, there's a possibility this could happen with you. In fact, it's not just a possibility, it's a probability. In fact, it's a certainty that this will happen in you if you don't take heed. He says, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. You see, I want to tell you, if you're just full of dead letter, because we said it before, dead letter can be turned into anything you wanted to see. You can take the ink on a page and twist it around and turn it into anything you want. I don't want to tell you, there's a lot of nice people out there saying a lot of nice things with nice voices and nice smiles and nice clothes and nice churches who are saying things that are totally alien to the Word of God. I looked it up again today because remember I brought it before the definition of nice. I thought, have I lost my mind? It's a long time since I looked at that. And I looked it up again today, bless God, and here are some of the definitions of the original meaning of nice. Because everything's nice now, isn't it? Oh, but he seems like a nice man. Well, that was a nice service. Here's some of the meanings. Foolish, silly, simple, ignorant, weak, effeminate. Still want to be nice? Do you want everybody to think you're nice, Isaac? Katrina, would you like Rachel, would you like everybody to say, oh, Rachel's a really nice person? Now, they might mean it. They might be thinking of it in a slip, but it's one of these words that's so lost its meaning that it's just, it's one of these words that everybody feels a bit sticky and yucky after they, even after they use it, I think, don't they? Nice, you know. Yeah. It began to so irritate my spirit years ago. I thought, I've got to hunt this down. And sure enough, I went looking again today. I went looking on Google today. Bless God, hallelujah. Good old Google, man. Always virtually guaranteed to come up trumps. Not on every site, but I found an old dictionary site, glory to God, it's called the Always Reliable Dictionary. And there it went. They gave all the other meanings also, but there it was, number one. The first meaning, the original meaning. What do you want to do? You go back to the beginning. Foolish, silly, simple, ignorant, weak, effeminate. Oh, the doctor was a really nice guy. This is what he told me, so I'm going to believe it because he's nice. You want me to believe that because he's nice? Well, the bank manager told me to take a walk, but he was really nice. Oh, the new Prime Minister, well, he stood up and said that all Christians are going to be locked up. But he's quite nice. He seems like a nice guy. Foolish, silly, simple. See, you've been receiving the nice. Jesus is not nice. He's not foolish. He's not silly. He's not simple. He's not ignorant. He's not weak. And he's certainly not effeminate. Do you know that the church has been effeminized? Do you know that effeminacy is alive and kicking in the church? Why? Because we let things become nice because we did not possess the land that he was giving us. We did not take it. We did not possess the dark places in our soul. But it's time for a turnaround. I don't have to be, but it's way past time. I trust for nobody, it'll be too late. That's how, see, in him is life. No other place. Only in him is life. There's no other place that there's life but in the Word. Not the letters on a page. Nice word. See, they brought in the false prophets when they wanted to hear something nice. Well, don't let him come. Don't let him prophesy. He never says anything nice about me. Jesus said, I haven't come to be nice. I've come with a sword. But see, that's not bad news. That's good news. His sword, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is able to cut you loose from all of your soulish darkness and deliver you into the light. We live in the light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship. Why is the church so broken down? Why is it so divided and so separated? Because of darkness. Because the light that is in the church is darkness. I got that revelation many years ago when someone was telling me about this particular local church where the one of the elders was having an affair with the Sunday school superintendent. And everybody in the community knew about it. All of the unsaved people knew about it in a local community on this island. And everybody knew about it. But nobody did anything about it. And that's what the Lord spoke to me. He said, beware that the light that is in you is not darkness. The church that was supposed to be a light, everybody knew. And nobody spoke about it. They spoke about it in the whispers around But one of the first things I discovered when I came to this island was this mess that they called, what do they call it? Junk again. Some kind of spiritual love or something they call it. I went to my first place of employment and I began to hear about all of the Christians who met up down in Stanage and on the Barvis Moor and out the Pentland Road. Everybody knew where they met. Married men and women meeting with one another. Not married to each other, married to other people. Christians. And everybody knew the light that was supposed to be light was darkness. You have a name that you're alive, but you're dead. I spoke to one of the minister I had at one time. I said, you're not dealing with the stuff that's going on. Everybody knows about it. Well, I won't go there. The light is darkness. But where does that mess come from? That comes out of the soul. Because people haven't taken, I'm not condemning people. Jesus didn't come to condemn people. I'm just shedding some light on some things. Because that stuff originates in the soul, in souls that have not been taken. The land has not been taken. Do you understand? The darkness has not been extinguished by the light. Remember, darkness is the absence of light. That's all it is. Your soul wasn't created to be dark. The earth was not created to be dark. That's why God said, let there be light. And then the light filled and the darkness was gone. soul was created to be full of light, just like your spirit. Hallelujah. Your body, life, the life that is in your body is the light of men. When everybody else is falling down under the plague, you're still standing. Though 1,000 fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, it shall not come near me. Why? Because of the light. Because of the life. Jesus never got mumps, measles, or anything else, glory to God, because it all bounced off him. Because of the life that was in him. Never got a sniffle. Never got a flu. And a generation when infant mortality was high. Not just by disease, but by the hand of King Herod. Jesus lived. Because the word came to Joseph and he acted on the word. And he took the baby into Egypt. Come on. He could have stayed. He could have ignored the word. He could have said, oh, shouldn't have had so much toasted cheese last night. I have to have just one slice tomorrow night instead of two. Silly dreams. No, he heard the word, he took it seriously, and he acted upon it. Because the entrance of God's word brings light, preserves life. Nothing else does. Nothing else does. But the word does. See, the word works. Say the word, the word, the word. You've got to get it. You must get it. We've been battling and hammering and beating this thing. Some of you think you feel like you've been beaten with it for years. Well, the Bible says sometimes that's the only way to get people corrected is to beat them. I don't mean, you know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Well, sometimes I go home and I think, Lord, was that too hard? He said, no, it wasn't hard enough. And I have to take possession of a wee bit of my soul that wants to go, oh God. But I know they don't like me. They don't think I'm nice. I want them to think I'm nice. No, I don't. No, I don't. No, I don't. Remember what it means. I don't ever want to hear Donnie Stewart's a nice guy. Seems like a nice boy. Ah. Hallelujah. God sent the word to do what? To save. To save. Turn over to, where are we in John chapter 3? In fact, it was Luke chapter 11, wasn't it? You know what that, see the Greek word there? For darkness is the word skotos. Skotos. Sounds familiar to you? Scotland. The darkness. The light that is in you. Beware. Take heed that the light that is not in you, Scotland, that it's not darkness. We have a reputation. Don't we? Wonderful. We are the land of the book. Yeah, but 99 times out of 100 it's the land of ink on a page. Thank God for what God did through men and women in this nation over generations. But it never did turn this nation around and bring the transformation that God desires. Not yet. Not yet. But it can happen. We need to believe it will happen. You believe it will happen? We've seen glimpses of it. Thank God for the ones who broke through. But most times they were marginalized. They were cast aside. They were stoned, just like the prophets that God sent to his own people in the old covenant. Upsets the status quo. Upsets the niceties. The niceness. We want the niceness back. Hello? We don't want men that go around parading around in t-shirts like that. That's not nice. You should be ashamed of yourself, Mark. That's not nice. You don't know that's not nice. Think you're around the street and I'll find at least five people will tell you that's not nice. We'll only meet five. Come on. But what's that? That's what the word says. That's straight out the word. Now, I trust he's not walking around to condemn people. I trust that's a beacon of salvation to people. Salvation of marriages, salvation of homes, salvation of children who will be destroyed because their parents couldn't hack it for another few years. Come on. Jesus, he comes to bring healing, not brokenness. He comes healing to the, bring healing to the brokenness. He says men preferred the darkness. They loved the darkness. This is the condemnation. Jesus didn't come with condemnation. They were already living in condemnation. They're embracing condemnation because they love the darkness rather than the light. Why? Because their deeds were evil and they don't want to change. You see, God's in the transformation business. He's in the radical change business. But the change can only come about one way. See, the Word. There's no other instrument of change but the Word. There's no other. None other. Don't ever look, please, don't ever, 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 ever be tempted to look anywhere else for supernatural transformation and change apart from to the Word. It's the only agent of transformation. There's no other. None. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light. Now you can say, well, evil. You need to understand. You don't have to be a serial killer to be evil. You don't even have to be a serial adulterer to be evil. You know what the Bible says? It says the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It's evil. Out of the heart, Jesus said, evil thoughts come. What kind of thoughts? Evil thoughts. That's why you must possess it. The kingdom is within you. You must possess the land within you before you can ever begin to take any other land back. I woke up a few nights ago and I just couldn't get back to sleep. I thought, Lord, I don't think I've even started out on this love business. I don't think I've even begun to understand what love is. And I couldn't get back. I'm trying to go, you know what I mean, man? Usually I can fall asleep before you've even shut your eyes. Come on. And you know I'm asleep because I make noises. Come on. If I stop snoring, I feel Katrina's fingers on my pulse. Look, come on, I'm saying where Sarah, because where is she? That's why I want to know better. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. What was I saying before that? In the night, I woke up and I couldn't sleep because of this love business. I'm so hard. Because you see, you need to understand, the light, the life, and love, they're all synonymous. It's when the light of the love of God begins to turn up. See, the power is in the love. God is love. The Word is the Word of His love, even if it's not very nice. It's His love spoken out. God speaks out of His love. God so loved the world that He sent the world, that He gave the Word into the world to bring salvation, to bring healing, to bring deliverance. Lord, you need to help me with this. God, I don't think I'd even start out on this love thing. Man, you need to help me. And that's the cry of my heart. It is God, I need to understand this love. I need to get a grip on it. Our definitions are all over the place because of the darkness that still exists a lot of the time in our soul because we haven't taken full possession of it. You need to understand what you don't kill will kill you. That's why God said you need to kill the inhabitants of the land. You need to drive them out. In fact, He says, I'll drive them out before you. But they kept making little allegiances with them. He said, don't marry their daughters. Because they'll bring their gods with them. And you'll start to mess around with them and you'll commit spiritual fornication and adultery with them and you'll die as a result. What you don't kill will kill you. I've got a word in me and I'll maybe bring it Sunday morning. It's called cancer killers. See, that's one of the anointings God's wanting to put on us, to be cancer killers. God gave me a revelation. I shared a little bit with the Katrina, but I'm trying to get more of it. I'm trying to get more wisdom, more understanding on it. Hallelujah. How can something so pathetic kill people? Because we have a grasshopper mentality. because we haven't taken possession of the land that he's given us. And something as pathetic as cancer is killing people when we're supposed to be killing the cancer. And God has put all the resources within us to kill that cancer. And I'll share some of that with you. Maybe Sunday morning. Come in. You'll become Sunday morning, won't you? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Don't you ever mess with any of that. Don't you even let one thought. I'll leave that for Sunday. How are we doing? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Turn to Psalm 107. I want to just finish this off. I want us to really get a hold of the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. You don't need nothing else with the Word. You don't need anybody else but the Word. Say the Word. Sad thing when people are running around all over the earth trying to find somebody when somebody has already come. Called the Word. Verse 17. Fools. Starts off with a nice word. Fools. Because of their... A definition of a fool is a person who acts unwisely or a person who is duped. You know, someone who's duped, they say, I was a bit in the dark over that one. Psalm 107, verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression. Fool is a person who acts unwisely. What does that mean? They have no wisdom. Keep your finger in there and go to Proverbs chapter 4 a minute. We need to hear this, folks. We need to grasp it once and for all and forever. Never let go of it. Not for an instant. Not for a moment. Not for a second. Not for a millisecond. In the second part of verse 4 it says, let your heart retain my words. This is Proverbs 4, the second part of verse 4. Let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Say live. Get wisdom. Get what? Get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. It's the most important thing. What is wisdom? See, fools are people who act unwisely because they do not have the wisdom to act any other way, or they've received the wisdom but they ignore the wisdom. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, she will promote you, she will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life. Do you see the result of this? The years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. You know that word for instruction? It means correction. It means chastisement. It means discipline. It means rebuke. It means warning. It means an admonition. See, sometimes it's not always nice for you to receive wisdom. Sometimes you're going to need to receive chastisement, discipline, instruction, admonition, rebuke, and warning. That's what Jesus said. Take heed. That's a warning. Take heed that the light that is in you is not darkness. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. You know, because it's tempting to let go, isn't it? It's tempting to, when things are tough, when things are hard, and you're hanging on by your fingernails, and it's really difficult. I don't know if I can go on much longer. It's tempting to just say, just let go. Just let go. Just drift off. Remember a few weeks ago I shared that message, Nobody's Child? And I shared a couple of verses out of that song. See, one of the verses, the wee boy's saying, well, I'm just can't, because one day I'll walk the streets of heaven where all blind eyes can see. What was that? Just a wee boy. A wee boy shouldn't be thinking of that. Wee boy shouldn't think his answer is having to let go and go off to heaven so his blind eyes can see. He'll be somebody's child. But a lot of God's children think that way. This is too tough. This is too hard. I think I'll just let go. go. Don't ever let go until you know that 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 the angel of the Lord has come to collect. Because you, God put life in you. He put life in you to resist death, not to embrace it. Jesus had to lay down his life. They could never have taken it from him. We are here to take what he's given. He says, I've come that you might have life. Don't ever, you're not nobody's child anymore. You're somebody's child. As many as received him, he gave them the right and the power and the authority to become the children of God, to live out all of their days, the full number of their days, as a light in the darkness. And it's the life that is the light, not the death. You know, I've listened to LZFM for many years. I've listened many times to Not Ashamed. And you know that probably 85% of the people who've testified have said they came to know Jesus because somebody died. And it's troubled me. Down at a base level, it's troubled me for years that's the case. That people are coming to Jesus out of death instead of out of life. There was only one death that they were supposed to come to Jesus from, and that was his death, and he didn't stay dead. If he'd stayed dead, there would have been no born again experience, folks. It's troubled me for many, many, many years. Beware that the light that is in you is not darkness. Beware that which you celebrate is not darkness when you think it's light. Beware that what you say amen to is not really darkness when you think it's light. You've got to take possession of your soul. You must take that land. There's dark areas in you that will say amen to untruth. Jesus said if you continue in the truth, it will make you free. It's for freedom that Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. It says that he came to deliver those who all of their lifetime had been in bondage to the fear of death. These people who said they came to the Lord because somebody died, it was the fear of death that brought them to the Lord. Except he came to deliver them from that bondage. The light is darkness. I didn't come here tonight to say this, but that sounds good to me. Take possession of your soul. If somebody dies and we pray, Lord, turn, you know, let somebody come to know you through that. Instead of run around and raise them up. Because that's what the word would do. That's what love does. But I said, Lord, I ain't got a grip on this. I've got a lot of principles. I've got a lot. But Lord, I need this love stuff. I need this powerful, powerful, powerful medicine called love. I need a way bigger understanding of this. I need a way bigger dimension of your love functioning, operating in my life. Maybe there's dark places in my soul that I need to possess. He says, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, but you must take it. You must take back the land that he's given you. You must let him drive out the enemy before you. You just stay advancing. He'll be in front of you, driving out the enemy. And as I said, the glory of the Lord comes round behind you and guards your rear. Hallelujah. Covers your backside. Come on. And that's what it's because the enemy, enemy doesn't fight fear. He's after your back. He doesn't mind sticking a knife in your back. He doesn't mind coming round behind you and stabbing you in the back. That's why you must have the glory covering your back. And the only way you'll have the glory covering your back is if you're advancing the kingdom, taking back the land. That's what keeps your back covered. Does that make sense to anybody? Psalm 107, it says, fools, because of their transgression, because of their lack of wisdom, because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food. What food? What abhorred the food? Come on. You know, some of you may even tonight are going, I don't want to hear this. I don't like this anymore. It was okay at the beginning, but now it's starting to go a bit off. I don't like this. I just want to get out of here. I don't ever want to hear this stuff again. That Donnie Stewart is definitely not nice. I always thought that, but now I know for sure that he's not. And I don't want to hear any more of the words because he never says nice things. And so I'm just, your soul abhors all that. What does your soul? If you're feeling any of that stuff right now, I'll be bold enough to tell you it's because your soul is abhorring the food that God wants to feed you with. The bread of life. Your soul is rejecting the bread. No, it's like one of these obstinate little kids. You know, I remember doing it with Ali, man. Pretend we've got a helicopter. You know, there's a helicopter, Ali. You know, open the garage door and let it in. You know, it's in his ear, it's in his eyes, it's up his nose. None of it's good in his mouth. Because he's decided, I'm not eating it. You've had that experience, haven't you? So boring. Food. What was that food designed to do to help you to live? Now, eventually you get to that, you resort to that. Well, if you don't eat it, you'll die. The lip, top lip begins to quiver a little bit. Fear of death kicks in. It says they drew near to the gates of death. But be quiet, because their soul abhorred the food that God was reaching out to them with, the bread of life. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And what did he do? He saved them. The Lord can't resist that cry. He saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them. See, it's the word. There's only one way to be saved, and that's to believe the word. There's only one way to be healed, and that's to believe the word. And then it says he delivered them from their destructions. There's only one way to be delivered, and that's to receive the word. See, the word. The word, the word. That's why our vision statement is the people of the world under the lordship of Jesus Christ. What do people do when they're under the lordship of Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus said it this way. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? Why do you reject what I say, and yet you still call me Lord? If you're truly under my lordship, you will hear what I say, and you will do it. You will receive my word. You will receive my salvation. You will receive my healing. You will receive my deliverance. That's what we need, people. We need to get there where we've possessed our souls. We've taken back all of the land so that the kingdom has been established in our lives before we can go out and minister the kingdom in its fullness. Jesus could bring the kingdom wherever he went because the kingdom was well and truly established in him. He was the king. Come on. He had no doubts whatsoever regarding the kingdom. And it's all sufficiency. He sent his word and healed him. What does he say? The word. If you want to see salvation, healing, and deliverance, if you want to see this vision that God's given to this church come to pass, you know what? You begin to understand why it's been so hard, why it's been so difficult, why it's taken such a long time. Well, because it's the word of God is like a hammer. It just hammers. Well, a man came in here the other day, and Joe, you said to him, are you taking the medicine? He said, I've begun to realize you can't keep hitting the same nail all the time. And he walked out the door, and the word of the Lord rose up in my heart. The word of the Lord is a hammer, and it'll keep hitting that nail as many times as it takes. Because that's what they did to Jesus. You understand? You see, the nails have already been hammered. And these nails were hammered so that we could receive that salvation, that healing, and that deliverance in all of its fullness. I'm not saying that man fully understood what you were saying. You knew what you were saying. I'm not sure he fully understood. But there was a soulish objection. Immediately you hit the soul. You hit the dark place of the soul that said, I'm not listening to that. I don't need to hear that. I'm out of here. His soul abhorred the food that you sought to reach out to him with. You were about to share something with him. You were going to read it to him straight out of the word. And he took off. I'm not having a go at the guy. I'm just saying that's what's there. Many, many people have come into this church and taken off when they've heard this word of deliverance, of salvation, of healing. That came to bring deliverance to them, to bring healing to them, to establish them, so that they could be a light in their home, in their community, in their church. If they came from another church, they could go back there and be a light. And let that light shine into the darkness and bring forth the word of God that lets light penetrate the darkness and dispel it and extinguish the darkness and drive it out. Because that's what the light does. It drives out your enemies. Because your enemies lurk in the darkness. Come on. Perfect love casts out all fear. What is the fear? Fear of the dark. Fear exists in the dark. Demons exist in the dark. Doctrines of demons exist in the dark. when the light comes, it exposes them, dries them out. Hallelujah. I better quit there. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He said, I am the word. Eat me. Eat my flesh. What happened to these people? The word came and the word saved them, the word healed them, and the word delivered them. I mean, I could give you a testimony upon testimony upon testimony, personal testimony on all of these issues, salvation, healing, and deliverance. From not just myself, but from my family. Without going outside of my family, I don't have to draw on them, and I could bring you a multitude of millions of testimonies from all over the world, but just from within our family of salvation, of healing, of deliverance, because through one medium, the word. Only the word. Nothing else, but just the word. Amen? I've seen it when we were starting out on this stuff. I've seen it when I was shaking these things. Katrina standing in the word and seeing things come to pass when David ate the rat poison. Man, I was starting to get built up on that stuff. And, I mean, rat poison kills you if you're a kid. 3 years old. Katrina finds him upstairs in this old man's house with a mouth full of rat poison. His cheeks are bulging and he's got blue stuff. You know that blue-green color of rat poison running down his face? He's chomping on that stuff. Sarah's saying, I have another one. What does it taste like? You know? I come home from work. She's back down at her own house. We're having her tea, she says. Well, by the way, you know, guess what happened today? I says, oh, what was that? Thinking, you know, the old boy spilled his tea or something, you know. She says, oh, Sarah and David did manage to get upstairs in the old fella's house. And I went upstairs and there was David with a mouthful of rat poison. Rat poison! What did that news hit? It hit one of the dark places in the soul still there. I'm getting a hold of him, starting to run with this stuff, man. I'm teaching it. The Bible says, teach your wife at home, you know, I'm teaching her. Taught her well. I says, rat poison, rat poison, you mean rat poison, what'd you do? She says, I just prayed. Yeah, but me all my butts kicked in that night. I'll tell you about my big one, my butt was too big that night. Did you phone the doctor? I access everything else apart from the kingdom. Eventually, glory to God, David, man, he's still walking around there. Didn't affect him one little bit. Why? Because she believed God. Delivered, supernaturally delivered. Could give me testimony after testimony on that. But I haven't got time for that tonight. But listen to what it says. I just want to see, just bring that one thing, because it says in verse 21, this is all that God requires of you. This is the rest. This is the place of rest, folks. This is the place of rest we need to come out of. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. Come on, say it. The Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues to all generations. It must become more than a mantra in our lives. Let me just finish what it says, these few verses. And for his wonderful works to the children of men. We've seen it in our children. We've seen it. Come on. Hallelujah. We've seen it in our own lives. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of prayer and fasting and man chomping cabbage and trying to call me. No, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Tell you, your soul won't want to give thanks sometimes. Your soul doesn't want to receive because of the dark places. You need to take these back so they become places of thanksgiving. All I've got left towards the Lord is thanksgiving. I don't have a prayer. Oh God, you need to come and heal me, Lord. Oh no, thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. That had to be turned around. That had to be completely transformed within me, and it must become completely transformed within you. There's no room for healing anymore in your life if you're born again. The healing has already been done, and all that remains is that, oh, that men would give thanks. For what? For what's been done. Not for what we're trying to get done, for what's been done. Not for, oh God, thank you, Lord, you're going to... No. Oh, thank you, Lord, I can let go, and you'll catch me, and he will. Underneath are the everlasting, don't get me wrong, underneath are the everlasting arms, but you might go before your time, and a light might go out that was supposed to shine a whole lot longer. That could have brought dark light to someone that will not see the light now, because your light was snuffed out. And someone may be offended by your light being snuffed out. Someone might be hurt and wounded that will never get beyond that offense, that will never begin to embrace the fullness of God because your light got snuffed. That's why we mustn't let go. Do you understand? Is that getting... I can see souls with... I understand. I've been there. As I said before, I'm still trying. I'm saying, God, I didn't even start out in this love thing. Help me! Jesus. I'm just going to say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. There's more love. Thank you, Lord, there's more love. Thank you, Lord, there's more love. I want to access that more. Thank you, Lord, more, more, more. You're going to fill me with more. You've got so much more, Lord. Fill me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. There's no other prayer but thank you. It says, let all your prayers be made with thanksgiving. With what? With thanksgiving. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. And how does it say to do it? Declare his works with rejoicing. That word means joyful singing. Yeah. Happy songs. Yeah. Not dirges. Not the funeral march. Happy songs. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Not in a coffin. When they go marching in and take possession of the kingdom. Possess their souls. Begin to shine forth as light in the darkness. Let the love of God begin to shine into this mess. It's the love of God that brings healing. Nothing else. Not mantras. Not in the name of Jesus. Not shouting at it. Not screaming at it. Not bawling at it. Love, love, love is the power that brings salvation, healing, and deliverance. Nothing else. People who got saved through fear, they need a big work done in their lives. I came into the kingdom through fear. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to go anybody else. That's how I came in. Through fear. God said, deliver me from that mess. Turn things around. Bring it the right way around in my life. So that the dark places of my soul can be redeemed. So that light can penetrate. So that light can begin to overflow and begin to shine. So testimony to the faithfulness of God. Let's stand up together and we'll do it together. And I will stop there because Katrina's starting to look at me like it's time to stop. Just as well, she wasn't here on Sunday, Kirsty, I'll tell you. Hallelujah. Come on, let's say it. The Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues to all generations. The Word, the Word, the Word. Amen. Hallelujah.